This is Rick. I want to talk about getting back on track. Now, Chapter 9, Getting Back on Track, covers why it's important to gather information, how to go about gathering the information. It gives you a lot of different techniques for doing that, and then how to analyze that information that you're getting. I want to dig beneath the surface and talk about why it's so difficult to go looking for that information. It's not that the techniques like surveys and focus groups are so terribly difficult. It's that we don't want to know. We don't want to know what those level 2 and level 3 issues are. We really don't want to believe that an idea that we came up with scares people, or that an idea that we came up with people really think is a bad idea and they've got better ideas. Because we've got an investment in the change. We've been working at it for a while if we're at the getting back on track stage. And we definitely don't like to think that people don't trust us, that they don't think that we're just the greatest leader that ever walked the planet. And consequently, we avoid asking those questions. Add to that that organizations are really not equipped to go looking for people's emotional and personal reactions. It almost seems unbusinesslike in some places. And yet, if we want to get back on track, that's the very thing we need to do. When people give us feedback, and going after these level 1, 2, and 3 issues is feedback. When people give us feedback, it messes with our image of who we are. So here we thought we were leading a change pretty well. We think it's important, and suddenly we're getting feedback to say, you know, this change scares me. The way you're rolling this thing out is disrespectful. It makes me angry. And not only that, we don't have confidence in you as a leader. That's hard stuff to take in. I mean, just admit it. For most of us, we don't go out looking for that. We don't go out looking for information that disrupts our image of who we are. And that is a huge reason why doing surveys, having conversations with people to try to find out what's on the list, why that stuff is so terribly difficult. So one of the things you can do is, first of all, don't ignore what's in Chapter 9. But one of the things you can do is you can start small. So if there are one or two people who you really trust and you know that they'll tell you the truth, start with them. Find a relaxed environment so you can really have a conversation. And these people have to be people who will tell you the truth. But if it's really scary for you, they have to be the kind of people that you're willing to listen to. But you can also even make it safer. You can ask a couple of pointed, specific questions about the change. So Bill, Mary, I'm really glad that you're here. My question is there anything about this change that seems to scare people? And then shut up. Ask follow-up questions by all means, but don't ask a bunch more questions. And so for that meeting with Bill and Mary, that may be plenty. Then you can do a subsequent meeting and a subsequent meeting. Of course, it's more effective in terms of time and being able to have information you can use to do it all in one big fell swoop. The problem is you may not be able to take it in. So trust your own internal mechanisms, or as one of my friends says, my acid bath, to know, you know, how much can I take in right now? And don't avoid it, but start to get information in bite-sized chunks so that you can start to use it. And by the way, there are other reasons why things go off track as well. Like maybe you don't have the resource to do the job. Maybe people lack the technical skills. Maybe funding is pulled away. Or there's been a change in leadership at the level above you and suddenly everything's up for grabs. In these instances, it's important for you as a leader to really look at Chapter 8, Keeping Change Alive, and say, all right, so what do we need to do? First of all, is this a change we need to keep alive because we've got this change in leadership? Maybe we don't have the support. And if it is important to keep it alive, then how do I as a leader go about making sure that people get the training they need, the support they need, the resources, and so on and so forth? I wish you well.